very pleased to welcome to the studio somebody who's been in before, local GP, Dr. Simon Paul. Good morning, Simon.
Morning, Ian.
How are you doing? I have to ask you how you are this morning.
Very well, thank you. Yes.
You are.
Although it's taken me ages to get an appointment to see you.
And I had you out there in my waiting room, didn't I, when you got here, because you were a little bit early. So we were just chatting, and you're getting ready for Christmas, and you've got the family over, and you're taking a leading role in the cooking. And obviously, with your interest in diet, I'm curious to know, when it comes to Christmas, does that kind of just all go out the window because it's Christmas and you just have whatever you want? Or are you careful about what you're feeding your family?
Well, because I'm a great advocate of the Mediterranean diet, actually you can do a Mediterranean diet-style Christmas.
Excellent.
And of course, because the Mediterranean diet is about a way of life, and it's about whole foods, and it's not actually about dieting per se, it's actually about enjoying foods and celebrating the real goodness. Actually, it's all very consistent with having a fantastic, beautiful meal with lots of extra virgin olive oil and lots of vegetables and a little bit of meat. So it's very consistent. So I just do more of the same, really.
And so what on that menu that you're putting together, what are the things? Just talk us through, you know, what you'll serve and where maybe you're substituting some of the not-so-good things with the things that are actually pretty good for you.
Well, I guess the important thing with times like Christmas is to really celebrate the vegetables. You know, we talk about roasted vegetables, and actually that's how I tend to prepare vegetables all the time. The Mediterranean diet and the book, The Olive Oil Diet, which we've just published, talks about the importance of vegetables with olive oil, because if there's one secret about the Mediterranean diet, that probably is it. There's relatively little red meat and certainly very little processed meats, so it's about poultry and game and roasted vegetables with olive oil. So the combinations of foods is really important in terms of health as well. So I know when I'm roasting my vegetables in my extra virgin olive oil that there's a kind of mix of the wonderful fat-soluble vitamins and antioxidants together from the vegetables into the extra virgin olive oil, and I know I'm getting a really great dose of very healthy nutrients.
Yeah, which is good. And I suppose the other thing is, I know not everybody likes turkey. I don't know whether you're a turkey fan, but actually if you do have turkey, that is quite a healthy meat, isn't it? It's quite lean, and, you know, often when you look at diets and things like that, people say, you know, turkey's a good one to go for.
Yes, I think that's right. I think a good quality poultry or game, which we have at Christmas as well, is excellent. And also often people sort of have fish, perhaps a slice of salmon or something on Boxing Day afterwards. And again, that's a really great way to get your protein, high in omega-3s in the fish, and also, you know, good proteins and good quality nutrients in poultry, generally reducing the red meat. So I have to admit, I'm not a great fan of sausages and bacon, but now and again, everybody can indulge, of course.
Yes, well, I guess things like sausages and bacon, that's the kind of, that's where you have to be, that's where danger lies, isn't it, if you're not careful. You have to be a bit careful with those kind of more processed meats, really, isn't it?
Yes, exactly. I mean, the World Health Organization has really summarised the evidence, which shows that processed meats really should be only enjoyed very occasionally rather than being part of our mainstream diet, because processed meats possibly are associated with an increased risk of disease. So poultry, fish, a little bit of game, avoiding red meat, and always preparing lots and lots of vegetables with extra virgin olive oil, lots of herbs, lots of salads around. You know, at the end of the day, it's lovely to have a little bit of salad as a bit of lighter food. Yes. And plenty of extra virgin olive oil all swilling around in the mix.
Lovely. And I mean, all of this, I suppose, to some degree, is, inverted commas, common sense. And I wonder, I think we do in this country, we have a lot more olive oil in our diet maybe in the last 30 years than we would have done previously, don't we? Do you think we're moving in the right direction with how we're eating?
Well, I think we probably are generally. I think we're still fairly addicted to large quantities of red meat. And I think really over the next sort of 10 to 20 years, there'll be increasing evidence to show that actually not only is it difficult to sustain our health with lots of red meat in the kind of quantity that we consume it, but also, in fact, actually sustaining the planet is quite a challenge, because meat, we know, is quite a contributor. The raising of red meat is quite a contributor to climate change. But in general, we are consuming more extra virgin olive oil, more good and healthy fats. And I think over the next 10 years or so, again, we will be adapting our diet to the new guidance that's out, which shows that we shouldn't really worry so much about limiting our total fat.
Yes.
We should just be taking the right kinds of healthy fats, like the fats in fish and the fats in extra virgin olive oil, rather than the saturated fats in red meat, for example.
And this leads us on, I suppose, to your new book, which you mentioned earlier, The Olive Oil Diet. Is this the first book that you've written, or have you published books before?
I've published one or two books before in the distant past, but this is the first really focusing on the Mediterranean diet with olive oil at its heart. And I wanted to really concentrate on that angle because, as I say, now we know that it's important to just get the right kind of fats. And we're also learning and understanding that olive oil by itself has a hugely important contributing factor to the Mediterranean diet. It's the one thing that really binds all of those countries around the Mediterranean to the same kind of theme of the diet. It's the use of extra virgin olive oil. And with increasing discoveries about the way it interacts with food. So, for example, if you put extra virgin olive oil on pasta, you'll decrease the glycemic load of that pasta dish. What that means is the sugar release from the carbohydrate will be much slower, so that you're much less likely to develop diabetes, for example, if you ironically consume a little bit of fat. If you have some extra virgin olive oil with your low glycemic index carbohydrates, it's actually preventing you or decreasing your risk of getting diabetes. So the way that olive oil interacts with foods is really important. So that's why it's at the heart of the Mediterranean diet, and that's why Judy and I co-authored this book with a lady called Judy Ridgway, who's also contributed some recipes. This is why we wanted to show it from the perspective of the way olive oil works at the centre of the Mediterranean diet.
Yes, looking at the book, which you brought in with you this morning, it's nicely put together in the sense that it steps you through, doesn't it, in a logical way. You talked to us about how you've put the book together with the various chapters and headings, because the way you've done it is a very takes you on a very logical journey, really, doesn't it?
Yes. Well, first of all, we talk about the Mediterranean diet and the science behind the Mediterranean diet itself and all the aspects to that over the last sort of 15 to 20 years, how important it's been shown to reduce the risks of not only heart disease and stroke, but also reduce the risks of diabetes and even Alzheimer's dementia by adhering to the Med diet. And then we take you through why olive oil at its heart is having particular effects and how important it is to use extra virgin olive oil within the Mediterranean diet. And then we break it down and show the seven pillars of the olive oil diet, which represent all the different foods combined with extra virgin olive oil, which can make up your whole Mediterranean diet. And then finally, there are some recipes at the end which use extra virgin olive oil with all those ingredients that we see so commonly in the Mediterranean diet, all those vegetables, the fruit. We even talk about using extra virgin olive oil for desserts and baking and roasting fruits with almonds and herbs and spices and so on. So we take you through a series of how really to put it together.
And Judy, who you mentioned there, who you co-authored the book with, so what, between you, what was her role and what was your role?
So Judy is a food writer, so she's written books on wine and cheese, for example, and has become rather an expert in extra virgin olive oil. So she understands the way the producers produce extra virgin olive oil back in the Mediterranean countries, and she's a great expert on taste of Mediterranean diet, which actually influences the healthiness of the oil.
Yes.
So the peppery bite that you get at the end of tasting extra virgin olive oil is a particular chemical, for example, called oleocanthal, which we know has anti-inflammatory properties. So we combine the education about how to understand the taste of extra virgin olive oil, how to store it properly, how to make sure that you preserve it really well, with the effects on health of having a good quality extra virgin olive oil and enjoying the taste and enjoying it with other foods.
And in terms of the business of putting a book like this together, how long did it take you to write it?
Probably about 18 months, I suppose. Yes,
right.
18 months going backwards and forwards with Judy helping editing my writing as well, because I tend to, at times, risk getting into the science too much. And so she was
well, you're a doctor, after all.
She was translating it into a way that could be really understood by the general public, which is great. So,
I suppose, and maybe it's a silly question because of what you do for a living, but I guess the science is to you is fascinating, isn't it? That about all of this, the science of the thing is part of what drives you to find out more about it, I assume.
Yeah, I mean, the science certainly drives me, but also, of course, being a GP, it's
yes.
all about communicating that to people, communicating that across the consulting room, and so actually communicating how to get a really good diet was, I think, what really interested me. So combining the science with a book to actually help the general public understand how they can access the Mediterranean diet, because a lot of people really don't understand some of the secrets in the Mediterranean diet, which are sometimes published in quite obscure journals like the Journal of Food and Agriculture or the Journal of Chemistry of Food. So it's actually really important to make sure that some of that science gets through so that people understand little aspects of the Mediterranean diet. For example, by marinating meat, you protect the antioxidants in the olive oil, protect the meat from breakdown into potentially harmful chemicals. And so this is, much of the book is dedicated to bringing that communication across to the general public.
And when you're in your surgery, seeing your patients, do you, is this interest in health and diet? I mean, obviously it plays into what you do for a living. Of course it does, because of what you do. But do you have special clinics or sessions, or do you see patients in particular? Are they referred to you by colleagues who need a bit of work doing, as it were, around their diet? Or is this just incidental to the fact you happen to be a GP, so you might give them a bit of advice about diet?
Well, I incorporate it into my practice because actually I really passionately believe that we should be talking to people about their lifestyle. I mean, it's shown that although obviously genes and bad luck can contribute to your likelihood of getting ill, we know that about 70% of illness is actually at least in part related to lifestyle. So it's really crucial and important. And I think often Western medicine is driven by expectations that people will get a pill and a prescription on the way out. But it's so rewarding when patients come back and see me and they've got a normal blood pressure or their cholesterol levels have improved based on diet and lifestyle. And it's rewarding for everybody because people can avoid the need for going on medications quite often and actually improve their health. And so that's why a diet is actually more about an overall health rather than just about losing weight. It's actually about protecting yourself from blood pressure problems or problems that put you at risk of diabetes or yes. heart disease or stroke.
And on the subject of, just to pick one of those, diabetes, which is a huge problem, isn't it, and a growing one. And in some parts of London, for example, I happen to know that they have a very, very high proportion, if you compare the statistics with 30 years ago, of people with diabetes at a young age as well, which is a great concern. And I've heard quite a lot of talk recently about the fact that my perception would have been that, you know, once you've got diabetes, you've got diabetes. But actually, if you catch people who are developing it in the early stages and make changes like the ones you described to what they eat, it can actually be reversed, and they then don't have to get into the whole cycle of having to be treated with medication. Is that the case?
Yes, that's absolutely right, Ian. Of course, I mean, there are two types of diabetes, two common types of diabetes, yes. diabetes, type 1 diabetes, and we're actually talking about type 2 diabetes, which is associated with increasing weight and can be reversed by diet and lifestyle changes. So that's increasingly becoming important for us to understand and help people and support people. And we're also learning that the Mediterranean diet and olive oil are really crucial in terms of being effective at reducing the risks of diabetes and potentially reversing early diabetes. And so again, it's about getting lots of vegetables, lots of low GI carbohydrates, so that's unprocessed carbohydrates, brown rice and brown whole wheat, whole grains, as opposed to the highly processed carbohydrates, and also having extra virgin olive oil. And people think, well, can I have extra virgin olive oil? Because, of course, it contains more calories because it's a fat. Yes. And actually, again, we're understanding that the body doesn't just have a certain amount of calories in and then burn up a certain amount of calories out and then put the rest on your waistline. It's a little bit more subtle and complicated than that. For example, as I said, with the fact that olive oil actually reduces the sugar load of a carbohydrate meal if you add it together. So we're understanding that actually it's not so much about counting calories. It's actually about having a really good, healthy diet, a Mediterranean-style diet, which, although it's slightly higher in fat than a lot of previously recommended diets, actually it doesn't make you put on weight. It doesn't cause obesity, and actually it's much less likely to result in type 2 diabetes.
It's fascinating stuff, Simon, and I could chat to you about it all the way into flavour, which is coming up at 12 o'clock. But we have to finish at some point, otherwise flavour will be cross with me. But let's just mention again, I mean, the book that you've spoken about, as I say, it's a lovely book. And where can people get this if they want to get it? Is it available, is it online or in bookshops or a combination of the two?
It's a combination of the two. So it's at Amazon, it's also at Waterstones, WH Smith, and if they don't actually have a copy in store, they can order it, or you can get it online. So it's in all major bookstores, as they say. and yes, and with a nice bottle of extra virgin olive oil, a nice bottle of high quality oil, it would make a lovely Christmas present, I think.
Absolutely. Well, all the very best with the book. How long has it been published, by the way? It came out a little while ago, didn't it, I think?
Yes, a month or two. So it's been out a couple of months.
And you'll be watching those sales numbers over Christmas, no doubt. And good luck with it, Simon. Lovely to meet you, as ever. And maybe in the new year, when we're all trying to, when we're all trying to lose a bit of weight, maybe we'll get you back on to give us a reminder about the best way that we can do that and the best way to eat. So it'll be lovely to welcome you back again. Thanks for coming in this morning.
Thank you, Ian.
There you go. Dr. Simon Paul, and his book is The Olive Oil Diet. I'll remind you of that in just a couple of minutes' time. And thank you very much again to Dr. Simon Paul. We always appreciate him giving up his time. He's a busy fella with his general practice here in Cambridge, and also, of course, his writing and all the other things he gets up to. And the book, a reminder, if you want to get the book, it's a fascinating read, and it would make a super Christmas present for somebody. It's called The Olive Oil Diet, Nutritional Secrets of Original Superfood, written by Dr. Simon Paul, co-authored by Judy Ridgway, and available in the shops now. You can get it in WH Smith's here in Cambridge. You can get it online with Amazon. I would strongly recommend that you pick up a copy.